Welcome to Eat Girl Eat, a podcast about ditching everything you think you know about health and nutrition and reconnecting to your body's innate needs. Together, we talk about health at every size, our body's natural intelligence, and how diet culture keeps us stuck on a constant hamster wheel of overthinking. Meet women from all different backgrounds and hear their journeys and insights about letting go of all the thought-created rules to finally make peace with their bodies.
Hi there, and welcome to episode 5 of the Eat Girl Eat podcast. In today's conversation, you're going to meet Alexa Gordon. Alexa is a social media influencer, a beauty guru, hairstylist, athlete, sister, friend, colleague, businesswoman. She wears multiple hats. And in our conversation, what I want you to really focus on is how she keeps bringing us back to one simple concept, that as long as we are alive, we are health. As long as we are alive, we are health. What we hear in Alexa's story is that when she started to do less, when she started to really recognize what was important in life, where she wanted to prioritize her efforts, and where she just wanted to show up as Alexa, her struggles with food started to change. They're not always perfect. They sometimes require attention. When I say attention, I mean a pause in the moment, just reflecting that it's just thinking. And so you'll hear from Alexa about her own personal journey, and you're going to hear Alexa talk about how those people who sit in her chair as a hairdresser have influenced what she sees today, how the people who share in her life influence what she sees to be the truth of life. The truth of life that we always have health and well-being. The truth of life that we are perfectly imperfect, no matter how our body flesh suits show up, no matter how we're thinking, how we're feeling, or no matter what is going on. Alexa is so wise, and notice how she really took the time to question and reflect on whether her thinking and her beliefs in a moment were true. She saw something so deep and wise that her perception of how she experiences life has changed. And because her perception of how she's experiencing life has changed, so have some of her decisions and habits. So I can't wait to hear from you. This was one of, you know, the most amazing conversations. Alexa and I go live sometimes on our Instagrams, and you'll have all the information of how to follow Alexa in the show notes below. Enjoy this conversation. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Eat Girl Eat podcast. I'm so excited to welcome our special guest today. Her name is Alexa Gordon. Alexa is a beauty influencer, a hairstylist, hockey player. She takes care of tons of women in our community and online. I'd encourage you to follow Alexa at alexa.bellbeauty, and I will include all her contact information in the show notes below. So a little while ago, Alexa and I did a Instagram Live, and in that Instagram Live, we talked about entrepreneurship, and we started to talk about habits, thinking, and food struggles. And so we thought we would continue that conversation here today. There's so much wisdom that Alexa has, and so many interactions that she has with women every single day who open up and share their probably deepest, darkest secrets with her. Not that we're asking her to share any secrets, but she gets to hear some interesting themes and struggles that people have who come in her chair, who are DMing her online. And so I thought maybe she would have some wisdom to share with us today. So welcome, Alexa.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm so excited to be a part of your podcast and share some of my own experiences and the challenges that I face and that I hear about in a day. I'm excited to share those with you. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. And so, Alexa, I'm starting these podcasts with a simple question. What is your favorite food or your favorite meal?
That honestly is a very hard question. And I'm thinking about it. And I am a huge dessert person. I love pastries and like donuts. I would say that's probably my favorite thing. In terms of a meal, I love pasta. Any type of pasta, I would say, is my favorite.
So, and something I didn't share with our listeners is that you're a great cook and you bake and you do all this for family and friends as well.
Yeah, I absolutely love. I love to cook and I love to bake. And I try not to cook things and bake things that I would normally eat like day to day. I always try to experiment and have fun and try new things when I'm cooking and baking. So I do love it. And I love cooking and sharing that with my friends and family. So
it's great that you're actually pointing us to this direction, because this was not pre-scripted. But one of the things that I always recommend to any woman who's struggling with food is to actually be playful and experiment and be curious. So how did you get into like baking and cooking things that were not part of your normal repertoire? How did that all unfold for you?
So it kind of started actually when I got put out of a job because of the pandemic. So I was home a lot more and I was bored. And I've always kind of liked cooking and baking. I never really had the time to do it. So when I was off, I was like, I'm going to start doing this more. And I honestly just started going on Pinterest and buying cookbooks and reading recipes and finding things that I liked and didn't like. And because I cook like I'm feeding an army, I always had so many leftovers. So that's kind of why I just started sharing and inviting people to come pick up food. I'm like, I have so much left over. Please take some. But yeah, I think just being home and having more time on my hands really, like, I was able to branch out and experiment more.
So as you're experimenting and you're sharing the fruits of your labor, did you notice or come into any interactions where you could tell your baking or your food was bringing up thought about food and weight in a pandemic for anybody in your circle?
100%. 100%. I actually, there was a small circle of people that I was constantly giving food to, and I wasn't doing it to be pushy. I was doing it, like I said, because I was bored. And there was two occasions where I had brought food to somebody to drop it off. And they had immediately made a comment saying, like, I don't want any more. And I was almost offended. I was like, what do you mean? Am I not good? and they said, no, like, I'm packing on weight because of all of the sweets and treats and food that you're bringing. So I don't want it. And yeah, that was kind of weird. That was hard for me.
Well, and hard because your intention, I'm assuming, wasn't a good
place. It was hard because my intention wasn't to trigger that in somebody. Like trigger an insecurity. Like, I was doing it out of the goodness of my heart and I thought that people would be appreciative, but obviously they were and are. But it brought up insecurities for them.
Yeah. And so this is a really good and important point. When you talk about triggers and insecurity, it's something that I talk a lot with women about. Can we really be triggered by a food or a drop-off or a circumstance? What is a trigger? And I love digging into this subject because triggers are just an illusion of the mind. It's a thought that's, you know, creates a reality that says, oh, this equals this. So a food drop-off doesn't equal uncomfortableness. A food drop-off can't equal gaining weight. A food drop-off can't equal eating all the foods.
Yeah, absolutely.
I totally
agree that triggers are roadblocks that we set for ourselves to some degree. Right?
Yeah, say more about that.
Yeah, like I remember there was a certain day that I was just dreading having this day approach. And I was like, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to make it. It's going to be a disaster. And I remember somebody saying to me, just think of it as another Wednesday. Think of it as another Thursday. Like the anticipation that we put on this, and I'm like air quoting trigger, mm-hmm. that moment, that time is going to pass regardless of the anticipation and anxiety and other emotions that we place on it. Like that moment's still going to happen. It's still going to pass. So flipping this on to food, me bringing a drop off to somebody, I could have brought them cookies, for example, or brownies. And they're like, nope, I don't want this. You're making me gain weight and I'm putting a trigger up for them. But okay, is that to say you're never going to eat a cookie or a brownie for the rest of your life?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're setting this emotional anxiety around something that you think is going to do something. And if you're going to gain the weight, you're going to gain the weight. And if you're going to lose the weight, you're going to lose the weight. There doesn't need to be an emotion around it. So I don't know. I think that triggers to some degree are emotional roadblocks that we set for ourselves that we can very easily take down ourselves.
Yeah. And so I like how you phrased that, Alexa, and phrased another way. I just say that they're an illusion of your mind that aren't real.
Yeah.
They feel real in a moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But to like what you said, like you can think of it like any other Wednesday. The reality is you're going to live through it. You'll be fine. Even if you have an emotional reaction, a physiological reaction to it, those physiological reactions don't last a lifetime. They don't even last an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet we innocently make these connections. The other thing that I think is really interesting around food and food struggles is that people tend to take it really personally. So what I mean by that is when I think about my family, my circle of friends when I was anorexic, they often almost internalized my thinking to be a reflection of who they were, what they should be, what they should be like. So they should eat like me, they should lose weight like me, or the opposite. Not be like me because I was struggling with a food addiction. So it's interesting that people's actions can elicit thinking in other people, but our thinking is never harmful. It's never dangerous. It's just thinking.
Absolutely. And I think that in this, what I'm about to say can be applicable to anything. I think that once people, stop, myself included, putting up these ideas that things need to be a certain way or need to be comparative to somebody else, then things will just become easier naturally.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. I love this because that is the answer to getting rid of any struggle is to actually like try less. Stop trying so hard and let it happen naturally. Because just like you said, the Wednesday is going to happen. So we can resist it the entire way and make a whole story about it, or we can just let it happen because it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah. It's going to happen anyways. Like I read this quote that kind of put things into perspective for me. And it was, I don't remember it word for word, but it was along the lines of like, in 4 years from now, you can be working the same job that makes you miserable, in the same relationship that makes you miserable, in the same habits that make you unhappy. Or in 4 years from now, you can get that education that you wish you had. You can change that relationship that you have into what you want. Like, that 4 years is going to happen no matter what. So ultimately, you're the one that decides how those 4 years are going to go.
And it's your wisdom guiding you with that 4 years. And, you know, sometimes when we read those quotes, they're so inspirational. And I wish they had like a little bit of a dot, because I wish it said, and it's going to feel uncomfortable at times. And you may feel like you're going to screw up, right?
Change. And like, this is the one thing that you and I have spoken about before. Like, I can openly admit now that I like to be in control of all situations. And letting go of the control of certain situations is change. And then seeing how things unfold in front of me is change. And all of those things are uncomfortable, but like, stepping back and realizing that I don't need to control everything, that things are going to happen with or without me being in charge, it is freeing, right?
Yeah, that's freedom and peace of mind. I mean, I work with people all the time who say, you know what, food freedom doesn't look like what I thought it was going to look like. I thought it meant sticking to my diet like 100% of the time, or like never eating the cookie again.
Yeah.
That's not what freedom is. Freedom is being able to be who you want to be in any moment, to making your own decisions, to following your wisdom, and knowing that everything is going to be okay. And if it's not, you'll have the resilience and the internal power to survive
and deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, Alexa, one trend that I have seen last month, and I kind of mentioned this just before we hopped on this call, is just these social media, what I eat in a day trends. Mm-hmm. And they are having such a negative impact on people who are believing the content to be true, believing those to be food rules. That's from my perspective anyway. I'm just curious if you've had any experience with this, or if you have any thoughts.
I do, actually, because I've gone through, I wouldn't really be on this podcast if you didn't know that I've gone through my own struggles surrounding food and diet and body image. So I think that those types of videos and posts are actually really unattainable and damaging. Mm-hmm. And the only reason that I say that is because if I had billions of dollars, and I had a personal trainer, and I could lounge around all day and have somebody cook me these perfect balanced meals.
Yeah.
That would be great. I'd have a rockin' six pack, and I'd have my what I thought was a perfect body, but that's not the reality of it. And I think that like, seeing these videos is so damaging, because I wear a lot of hats in a day. And for me, I can eat healthy, but I don't have to document it and be like, oh, look, I ate pasta and I had some pizza and I had oatmeal. Like, yeah, I had a carb heavy day. Like, I don't think people need to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that it's really unrealistic. I saw it on my For You page. I think I was mentioning this to you, that Kylie Jenner, she has like, I don't know, a billion followers on Instagram. And she posted a what I eat in a day video. And it was like a smoothie bowl. And then there was like a little bit of fruit later on. Then there was like a shake later on. And then there was like four noodles and some grilled vegetables. And I'm like, that is not enough to make you full. And having such a humongous following of people who are so easily influenced by you, like, that is so damaging, because that's not real life. Like, that's not realistic.
It isn't. And your body, like, changes, like, its nutrients and what it needs every day changes, like, literally every day. If, you know, I'm sure that the days where you're working 3 and 4 jobs, you might need more nutrients than a day where you might be laying on the couch. I don't know when you've ever done that, Alexa, but watching Netflix, like, there's a big difference in what your body needs.
No, but it's so true. And I think that I struggled with this a lot before because I used to try and be so regimented with my eating. I would, like, I'd have to have a perfect breakfast that was, like, heavy protein based, and all day I would be surrounding myself with, like, I remember I've told you this story before. We had butter tarts at work one day, and I was staring at these butter tarts, and I was like, I want a butter tart so bad, and I wouldn't let myself have one. And why? My body wanted a freaking butter tart. Have a butter tart. Like, it's not going to make or break it for me, right? So, I don't know. I kind of lost track of where I was going with that. But your body does know what it needs in a day. There are certainly days where I get up and I'm like, I really want some eggs and toast today. And then there's other days where I'm like, I'm not that hungry. I'll think I'll just take a shake to work. And then I gauge myself throughout the day, but I never starve myself anymore. If I'm out in public and there's things I want to eat, I just eat them. And this, it's interesting how when I let go of these expectations for myself that I only need to eat 1,000 calories and I need to do all of these things, this, I'm the happiest I've ever been with my body.
Oh my, I'm so happy to hear that, Alexa. So 2 comments. One, I'm gonna ask you to maybe share a little bit of insight of kind of what helped you realize that just eating a butter tart is fine. And 2, I'm going to say, like, me too, because, and I think I've told you this before when you've done my hair or we've had other interactions, like, the less I worry about weight and diet and working out and all of that stuff, and the more I just listen to my body, my weight takes care of itself. It actually fluctuates when I start trying to manipulate the ecosystem that it's already working in. That's the times that I've struggled the most. The more manipulation, the worse I've, you know, struggled with food, with weight itself and body image.
Yeah.
So how did you start to see that, hey, I can eat the butter tart. I don't need to eat 12 butter tarts. Not that you ever did that. I used to do that, but, you know.
So I would go through phases where I would be like, oh, I really want a chocolate bar. And I would eat like 4 chocolate bars because, like, it was all I thought about was that first bite. And I was like, oh my God, this is so good. And I'm so deprived. And I want this so much that I couldn't just have a couple of bites. I would literally eat 4 or 5 chocolate bars. And then I would have this guilt, and then I wouldn't eat again, and then I would eat like 5 times of whatever it was that I was indulging on. Cheese, I would like eat so much cheese and so much chocolate. But what kind of changed for me was when I honestly just stopped thinking about it. Like, I don't know if there was like a specific moment or if it was like a collective, like a buildup of things that kind of made me just be like, I have so many other things to worry about in a day. I don't have the time or energy to worry about counting and restricting.
So Alexa,
go ahead.
Can we dig into this? You stop thinking about a little bit more, because there's this funny little space that unless you've experienced it, it's really hard to articulate. And I know that somebody's going to be listening to this and be like, well, I try to stop thinking about it. And then I think about it more.
This day though, like, it's not like it just completely went away and I've never been cautious since. Like, there are still days where I'm like, oh, I really like eating that. And I can guarantee that if I wanted to, I could eat an entire tray of donuts. But I'm like, okay, eat one donut, wait 15 minutes, see how you feel. If you want another one, have another one. But once I've had it, I've digested it and I'm waiting, I'm like, okay, I'm good. I don't need that. So I'm not going to say that I was just like one day I woke up and I'm like, I'm ever going to think about and count what I put in my mouth. It just became a habit of unthinking about it.
Like, no, I hear what you say. I say like how I phrase it, and it's people have to experience this for themselves. It's like you stop staring at it. So I can continue to stare at, but I want a second donut. I want a second donut. Ooh, the maple one looks good. Ooh, the chocolate one looks good. And I could keep talking about this donut until you and I actually start to salivate and want a donut, because that's just what like our psyche and physical body does. But
yeah.
So you can stare at it and then you can start to like stare at those thoughts that come in to say, okay, well, if you have another one, then tomorrow you won't have any more. And like, for me, when donuts was a big thing for me, especially in Niagara, those Beechwood donuts were like the best and worst yeah. thing that ever happened to my binge eating was like, okay, well, I'll buy four and I'll eat all four and then I won't ever buy them again. Right. So, but that was me staring at my thoughts. And so we can go down that tunnel with all of that thinking that's just really habitual and it's just a mind, or we can be like, oh, okay, there's that donut thought. I'm going to give myself 15 minutes. In 15 minutes, or I may or may not want the donut. I may or may not even have that thought, but it's almost like a stop. Like, there's the second donut thought. I'm just going to check in with myself to see if I want the second donut and then move on. Does that feel right? Or
that's did it feel 100% right. That's 100% right. Because so, it stops buying myself that time, giving myself that time, allowed, not so much now, but allowed me to think about it or not think about it. Kind of just like if it would come up and I'm like, I can't stop thinking about this donut, I'd be like, you know what? Have the other one. Who cares? But if I stopped thinking about it and I was like, this is my body telling me, like, we're good, we've gotten our sleep fixed, like, we're happy, you're back to where you want to be, carry on. And then I don't think about it again. And then next time I'm presented in a place where I'm like, oh, there's sweets, I'm like, okay, I'm good with having one. And then it naturally just becomes routine, where there were certain things that I used to avoid completely just because I'm like, I'm either all or nothing. But mm-hmm. now I can be around these foods and these social situations where I can have one. And then I'm like, okay, like there's no afterthought to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, this totally makes sense. And I know that we're going to have people that are like, okay, but I can't, that their thinking feels like I can't just yeah. have one. Right. So what I want to point out there, you tell me if this feels right to you or not, is there's like this deeper connection to yourself that goes like, if I actually want that second donut, I'm just going to have the second donut and I'm going to be fine with it. I'm not going to beat myself up for the next 3 days or the next 3 hours or this entire night for eating that second donut. Like, if you're going to allow yourself, really allow yourself so that it's your decision versus I'm going to allow myself to have the second donut, but you shouldn't have done that. And you should never have done this again. And now you're calculating your calories and you're writing it down and you're going into the mitigation. And so then that way you're getting in the thought loop. It's really, I don't know. I describe it as like, accept whatever decision you make. Don't yeah. judge it. Stop looking, like, don't look at it anymore. If you ate the second donut, go with it and enjoy life. Does that make sense, Alexa?
Absolutely. I totally agree with that, because as you were talking, I was like thinking it's the same for really anything. Like when you get dressed in the morning, you put on your outfit and you're all day, unless it's really uncomfortable clothes or whatever, but like all day you're not sitting there being like, I shouldn't have worn this t-shirt. And then you don't go home and throw out your t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so it's the same with food. And it's like when people come in to get their hair done, like I'll apply it to my profession. It's like when they come in to get their hair done, I've got people who say, I want to chop all my hair off. And I'm like, okay. And their immediate after statement is like, it's just hair. It grows. If I hate it, it grows. Like, you know what I mean? Like things, letting go of that idea and control around those certain things, like it happens. But it's okay to happen.
Yeah. And in that moment, they're like, I'm making a decision that I'm going to accept whether this is the best haircut I ever decided to get or, you know,
or the worst
style.
I'm owning this decision.
Yeah.
So I think that people should have the same, I know it's easier said than done, but it's more freeing when it's done.
So can we talk about that little transition period? Because when I coach people, you know, we say like we're changing habits by looking within, by looking at something deeper so that it's about understanding that a lot of this is just habitual thought. You're not sick or, you know, there's nothing really wrong here other than you have lots of thinking about food. And so I don't want people to apply willpower to a plan. And so sometimes when I say don't apply willpower, the natural reaction for most of us who are black and white, most of us are who you know have any kind of struggle like this, we tend to be really hardworking perfectionistic people, is you know the natural habitual reaction is, well, I'm just going to go and pick out on everything. So there is a little bit, I want to talk about this sweet spot of not using willpower, but having that, I don't know, pause, the checking in with yourself, the slowing down for a second to go, okay, so if I'm not going to live by food rules or someone else's, you know, social media, what I eat in a day, and I'm going to allow myself to have what I truly want, there is still, I think, a little bit of efforting at the beginning to actually check in with yourself about what that is and how much of it.
100%. Like that was why I said this, I would give myself the 15 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eat something, wait that 15 minutes. That was your timeout, check-in, self-reflection moment. And, but as those moments were happening more and more frequently, I was just like, this is going to sound brutal, but I was like, I don't have 15 minutes. Like you had one, you're good to go, carry on. And now it's just not a thought because I know that I've done it 100 times. I can continue to do it and I don't need to stop and stop, cut myself off and remind myself anymore. Like it becomes a habit and it becomes a routine. And like a guilty habit of mine is over COVID, I have become obsessed with Kit Kat bars. And every week I buy a couple Kit Kat bars and they're always around. And some nights I eat an entire Kit Kat bar and some nights I have none. And some nights I have like two of the little fingers of it. Some nights I have one. And I've learned to never beat myself up about it. If I eat the whole bar, I eat the whole bar. If I don't have any, I don't care. If I have one, I only wanted one.
Kudos. Whoever is listening to this, please like replay this. Like that's life. That is actually living life. Like, and this is, you know, insert whatever food, salad.
Yeah. Chicken. Like there, I love salad. I sometimes want to eat a ginormous salad because I'm just craving like fresh, crunchy, cold vegetable and I'll eat the whole salad. And then other times I'm looking at salad and I'm like, oh my God, this is grossing me out. I don't want to have any of it. And I don't.
Yes.
Or sometimes I have a little bit and I stopped investing so much time and thought and energy into it because there are so many other things that you can invest that time and energy into that will benefit you.
And so if it has, I don't know if it has, but has your perception of body image changed at all with less thinking about food?
My perception of my body image, honestly, this has been the first time I've ever looked at my body, and I work out consistently. Not like I don't break my back to work out, but I'm active with hockey and soccer, and I lift weights once or twice a week. Nothing crazy. And if I don't make that happen, it doesn't happen. But I'm so comfortable in my own skin because I've taken down these expectations for myself that I need to have a six pack and a flat stomach and ripped arms to be pretty. Because that's number one. It's hard, and I'm not saying that I'm afraid of hard. I just choose where I'm going to put my hard. And two, my body was made to be this way. I saw a few girlfriends from high school a few weeks ago for the first time in years, and they all said to me, "You literally have not, like, nothing about you has changed since high school." And I was like, "Really?" And they were like, "No, like, you're literally, like, everything is the same." And I kind of laughed about that after, because I realized that, like, this is the size, this is the weight, this is the where my body wants to carry it. Like, there's a reason it wants to carry weight in certain spots. So why am I fighting with that? I'm not saying that I love it, but I'm comfortable with it because that's just who I am, and it hasn't changed much. So the more time and energy that I invest into thinking I'm going to have this chiseled six pack, the less energy I'm giving to places and people and relationships and jobs that need that energy.
Yeah. And so what do you think we actually need as human beings? Like, so our body's going to tell us, like, that we need a certain amount of food. It's going to tell us that we need a certain amount of sleep. It's going to tell us that we need a certain amount of, like, water. And to me, like, what we need as humans is, like, love and connection.
Yeah.
And
we need to.
Yeah.
You actually put this into my head a couple years ago about the bucket.
Yes.
How you have to categorize everything into buckets and choose who's filling your bucket and whose bucket you're filling. And I think that can really be applied to this topic of conversation as well. Like, if you got your own bucket of water and then two more buckets in front of you, and one bucket is all of the energy that you're going to put on food and your binge eating or you're not eating or you're calorie counting, and the other one is your friendships, your relationships, your family, your jobs, your pets, your sport, how much of your personal bucket do you want to pour into each one before it's empty? Because the bucket only can hold so much.
And I'm pausing here on purpose.
Okay.
So again, This is the question to go back and reflect on. Alexa's giving such good words of wisdom. Where do you want to spend your energy? And there's no right or wrong if it's on food.
There is no right or wrong at all. I made the choice for myself that waking up angry and thinking about this breakfast that I wanted to have that I wasn't going to give myself, and then being tired and short and agitated with my relationship and being sluggish and lazy at work and being hungry at nighttime but being too tired and depleted to eat, I realized that I made that choice that I didn't want to do that anymore. Because it wasn't fair, because all of these people were giving to me and I was giving nothing in return because all of my energy wasn't going into being thin. because I thought that being thin would make me more likable. And then when I stepped away from that and I was like, you're rude, you're agitated, you're tired, you're emotionally unengaged because you're hungry, I realized that that wasn't fair to all of the people that were working so hard to try and get my attention and make me better and support me. I was giving zero back to them. So I made that choice, and there is no right or wrong choice, but I made that conscious choice that I needed to start taking care of myself if I wanted everything else around me to stay afloat.
This is like magic advice. And for the person who is just so in the struggle right now, Alexa, where everything just feels overwhelming and maybe she or he doesn't even know where to start, where would you point them? What would you say is the place to start?
I would say start with a deep and raw self-reflection. And when that self-reflection is going on, visualize where and who and what you value. And if I don't know. I think, honestly, I just think that a deep self-reflection is in order. And when you prioritize what will make you happy and who will make you happy, I think that you'll naturally see that eating or not eating a piece of pizza or a plate of pasta will be dead last on the list.
Mm. Prioritize going within. Look at who you are today within your soul and what you want. And where does food measure up on that list? Where does body image and the six pack measure up on that list?
Yeah. I have another little quote that I read one time, and it was from an old woman who was talking about how all of her life, like, she's like, I wish I didn't spend so much time being self-conscious at the beach because of my bathing suit. I wish I spent those moments swimming in the water with my loved ones. And I wish that I didn't spend so many times at parties being afraid to eat because I wish I would have been eating with the people I love. And it's kind of stuck with me because, like, kind of what I've been talking about, like prioritizing. And when you do a deep reflection, like when I did a deep reflection on myself, I looked back and I looked at my life and I was like, this is not fair to myself, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
That I have to keep myself in this constant state of anger and depletion because I think I want something when at the end of the day, like, I've got parents who love me, I've got siblings who love me, I've got friends and a partner who love me. And they've all said to me, whether you're 700 pounds or 100 pounds, like, it doesn't change who you are. We're still going to love you. And it was removing the weight from it and being like, I am who I am. And these people are going to love me and respect me and value me. And that nothing else should matter.
And so for people listening, maybe try to view yourself from the lens of those who are closest to you. What would your mother say? What would your partner say? What would your best friend say? What would your pastor say? What would your fill in the blank? Who is that person that knows, who you are within, deep within, and how would they describe you? If you can't look within yourself, how would they describe you? And that's the truth. Everything 100%. Else is just thinking. Yeah.
I work with so many women and men in a day, and hearing the way that they speak about themselves, I think kind of led me to my own personal, I really wanted to dig deep on myself, because I would have people coming in who are dressed to the nines and they have these like prestigious careers and the beautiful car and the beautiful family and all of these wonderful, wonderful things that I'm like, one day I aspire to have all of those. I can't wait till one day I can have all those. And then they just pull themselves apart. And I'm like, never once have I seen those qualities in you physically or at all.
Yeah.
And it's so sad to hear. And I used to get so wildly uncomfortable when friends and family would be like, you're so well-spoken and you always look beautiful and you're so driven and you have a way of working a room and speaking to people and making people feel a certain way. I used to want to crawl into a corner and be like, please stop. Please stop talking to me. Please stop talking about these things, about these characteristics of a person who I'm not. And I think it was once I kind of stepped back and realized that why are they seeing these things? I don't see them. I'm not that person. Like, I must really have them fooled. And then I was like, no, those are me. Like, they're not making these things up. These people love me. They're the most honest people in my life. They wouldn't lie to me like that. So once I owned that I was this driven, well-spoken person who is emotionally intelligent and can work a room and have conversation with anybody, I started owning those, and that built my confidence naturally. And everything else kind of went away.
Yeah. It's amazing what we can do when we literally just look within. And that has been the theme of our entire conversation. This is about looking at what's already working for you, what's there for you always, what's never changed, right? Whatever that yeah. time period is, high school or when you were 6 years old, none of your spirit and who you are innately has ever changed. You're just full of love.
Yeah.
Alexa, I want to sincerely thank you for being one, brave enough to share your story and providing all of this insight, because for anybody who's struggling, you gave so many great tips and advice about where to start. And it really does start within. And for you to just be so wise in what you're seeing and really let go and focus on what you want out of life is just like, you know, this is freedom. And this is what I know we want to see for everybody. For people who want to get a little bit more of Alexa wise wisdom and see you live and in social media and our tech world, where should they connect with you?
I am most active on Instagram. So Instagram, and then it's at alexa.bellbeauty. And yeah, that's my Instagram. And that's where I'm most active.
One of the things that I love about your Instagram site is that while you're talking about beauty and beauty products and tips, you keep it real. No filters, no false advertising. Alexa keeps it real. And so if you're looking for any tips and some wisdom and inspiration, she is the girl to follow. And Alexa, I hope that you'll come back in a future episode and we can continue to have this conversation.
Absolutely. It was very, very lovely to be included in this and a part of this. And I love chatting like always.
Oh, thank you, Alexa. We will talk soon.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Hey, thank you for tuning into the show and listening all the way to the end. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure to subscribe to the show and get new episodes downloaded as soon as they come out. If you're a fan of podcasts, we would really appreciate if you left a super quick rating or review. Your reviews tell others that, yes, this is a good podcast, and that could help other women with their food freedom journey. If you're looking for help in your own food freedom journey, subscribe to the Empath new newsletter at m-path.ca. That's m-path.ca. Or follow us at the gram at m-path.ca. So that's it for today. But in the meantime, remember to eat, girl, eat.